I told young people we're going to talk about restoration today. Restore is on the screen there, and that's the focus that I would like to invite you to be reflecting with me about. And if there was a person that was in need of restoration, if there ever was a story where restoration was needed, it's certainly the story of Peter, what we just heard. Thank you so much for doing a great job reading it. Now, to get that, maybe, it might be good to think about some of the earlier parts, some of the things that have happened that have led up to this point where they are on the lakeshore. Okay, so remember, and I'm really glad to tell you about this if you haven't heard about it, but Jesus was resurrected. No, Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. That's close. All right, so, and there is this series of events that happen right after that resurrection. Now, in the Gospel of John, the story is that Jesus starts to, you know, he appears immediately on Easter Sunday morning, but he also starts showing up. And he shows up at different times. There's this one story about him showing up when they were in an upper room. The door was locked. He just appears. He's with the disciples, except for Thomas, who is not there. Remember this story? Doubting Thomas. Thomas is not there. He comes back and they say, Lord was here. And he says, I'm not believing it until I see, you know, the wounds. And a week later, he shows up and he's like, Thomas, here we go. And it says that all these kind of interactions occur with the disciples and Jesus after the resurrection. So there can't really be any question about that, except, you know, they don't know what to do. It says at one point, Jesus did all these things. I'm not even going to write them all down, but he did all these things. And then we get this story. Now, Simon Peter was impetuous, kind of impulsive sort of guy. He's kind of the leader of the group. Jesus obviously was the leader, but of all the disciples, you know, Peter kind of leaned in a lot. And Jesus says, this is the kind of rock I can build a church on, right? So Peter's got a specific place, but man, he shoots his mouth off. Right before Jesus was captured, he says, Jesus is saying these things are coming. And Peter says, nah, we're not going to let them happen. That's not going to be the way it goes down, Jesus. And we're going to fight for you. And Jesus looks to him and says, you know, before the rooster crows three times, you would have, you know, turned your back on me. Do you remember the story? This is an awful story. And what does Peter do? No, I'm all in for you, Lord. We're together. So then Jesus is arrested, and Peter follows closely behind. People start to identify him and say, aren't you one of his disciples? Not me. No. And he does this again and again until finally, you know, he hears a rooster crow. And he remembers what Jesus had said. If you were in Peter's shoes, how might you feel? Or his sandals? I mean, promises made is one thing, but, you know, just completely denying even knowing him, which is what he does. Not me. Not that. No. Don't even think it. So, again, there's the suffering and the death, but then there's the resurrection that we kind of celebrated a moment ago. And the disciples are stunned that he is alive. He has come back to life, and he is, you know, breathing the Holy Spirit on them, and he's given them proof of what had happened. And what do we do? What do we do next? I believe in Jesus, but what do I do with it? So the disciples come to a place of being near water, and a bunch of them, including Peter, are fishermen. That's how they make their living, how they would have made their living before following Jesus around all over the place. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. And think about that. That is like a complete 180 degree return back to what he was and what he did, right? If you don't know what you're doing, you go back and do what you knew, right? Or if you only have a hammer in your toolbox, do you know this? Everything looks like a nail. Right. What do I do with myself? I've had this 3-year experience. I've had this transformative experience. I've had the Lord God Almighty, Son of God, showing up in front of me, resurrected, but what do I do with it? How do I make sense of it? Well, beautifully, we have the story. So these boys are out fishing, and they would have been, you know, pretty expert at knowing what to do. And they are out late all night. The, you know, apparently naked fishing's a thing. I don't know why. But seriously, I mean, it's in the scriptures there. And so the Lord shows up on the beach and starts with a fire, and he sees those boys out fishing, and he says, have you caught anything? He knows what's going on. Have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught a thing. And then he says, why don't you cast your net over here, and they're fishermen. They know what they're doing, right? And here's some dude. They don't recognize him as the Lord. By the way, this happens in the Gospels in other places as well. Jesus says, fish over there. And, you know, the experts in the room, the experts in the boat are like, I am not doing that. Because why? Do you know how to properly do this? I like experts a lot. I've played some, you know, from time to time. No, okay, all right, whatever. And so they pull in a lot of fish. In fact, it says they get 153? It's 153 fish, which I don't know if you've ever fished before. I'm happy with one. And a little one, you know. Oh my gosh, look at that. So 153 fish are pulled in. They're making their way to shore. There is the recognition that it's the Lord. And Peter, in joy, jumps into the water and swims and then runs to see him, right? And then they pull in all those fish, and they're looking at 100. These are not small fish. They're looking at 153. That is enough fish, you know, to feed a fairly large village. That is enough fish to make a lot of money. That is a lot of cheddar flopping around on the ground, okay? And there is this amazing gift of abundance right there. Why? Why would that abundance be just poured out? And so in that abundance, Jesus says, let's cook. And they have fish, and there's bread prepared there. Interesting. And in the face of that abundance, with the opportunity probably to go back to fishing, gosh, if you get that much fish brought in one morning, you got to be feeling good about yourself as a fisher person. Why not go back to being a fisher? Hey, Lord, how about this? Maybe we could start a fishing business. Right? We'll call it Jesus's fishing business. That's not the plan. That's not the objective. Because there's a whole broken world needing much more to eat than fish. Is waiting. Let's go back to Peter. He sits there with the Lord. They've had probably a feast. They probably are feeling Thanksgiving full from all that they have had. And I don't know where the other boys are. They might be still gathered around. Or they maybe they're cleaning up. I don't know. But, you know, Jesus looks at Peter, the one who said, I'll never deny you. I'm with you to the end. The same one who said, I don't know that guy. Leave me alone. He looks at Peter and says, do you love me? How would you feel if you were in his place? Because what has been acted out would not suggest love. And Jesus knows this, and Peter knows this. And Peter's trying to make sense of it, and he gives the right answer. I don't know what the motivation was, but he had to with kind of, you know, yes, Lord, I love you. And what does the Lord say? Come on. Feed my sheep. All right. So it's like, do you love me? Do you really love me? Yes. Then do this. This is not the fish business that we are in. Do you get that? This is not the fish business. This is the feeding sheep business. And then he goes and does it again. Peter, do you love me? And they go through the same thing. Yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Tend to my lambs. This is not the fish-keeping business. This is about looking after those who are lost and suffering and vulnerable and messed up and the, you know, the captives and the blind. And a third time, Jesus looks at Peter, dead in the eye, I would imagine, and says, do you love me? Now that moment for me, and you know, lots of people have said, that moment kind of hangs in the air. It certainly did for him, because that's the third time. And by the way, when things are repeated in the scriptures, someone is trying to say, pay attention to this, okay? Look, something's happening here. The third time he looks at him, he says, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. Of course I love you. You can almost, in reading the words, hear the exacerbation in his voice. And what does Jesus say? Come on. Come on, we got sheep to feed. Did at any point Jesus go, you scoundrel, you low-down, dirty, double-talking dog? Maybe that's what I would have said. Does he rebuke him? Does he push him away? Does he think, oh, well, I have put too much trust into this one. I don't think he's up to muster on that. No. He says, you're part of the team still, if you can love me. Do you love me? Remember that whole business of you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and the mind and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself and your sheep, the sheep that I'm going to give you as yourself. Peter is restored. He wants to restore himself to his old profession. That's not going to work anymore. But he's restored to the relationship with God. Do you see that? Don't miss that. He is restored to the relationship with God, but he is restored to the relationship with God so that he has a different job, a better job, a more universally sweeping, powerful job, where the captives get released and the blind are returned to sight. And all those things that Jesus says, this is my ministry, including a ministry of reconciliation between people and with God. That's the feeding. He says, I'm glad you're in because it's going to be rough. And he starts kind of like giving some ideas about what kind of future he might have as a person who follows Jesus. What kind of future he might have as a leader and a disciple. But he's restored for that purpose. When you and I look at stories like this, I would invite you to read your own story here. I mean, we've been talking about stories. We were talking about money stories. We've been talking about our personal journeys. We've been, you know, if you've been kind of following along with the journal information along with it, we've been inviting people to kind of think about how our story connects with God's story, how our money story connects with God's money story, how it's all part of the same story. And so I would invite you to sit there on that beach, feel the sand on your back end, and smell the smoke as Jesus looks you in the eye and says, Janice, do you love me? That's my mother-in-law right there. Ooh, I did it now. Janice, do you love me? Then you have sheep to feed. With the things that we have, with the resources that we have, with the life that we have been given, as restored people, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have things to do. What we are going to be able to do this next year, I don't know. We have hopes and plans. We have dreams. But we got work. Amen? Sorry, I went Baptist on you. But we have work to do. We have sheep that are desperately hungry for more than just food and longing. Longing for more. So may God, who can restore Peter after completely rejecting him, continue to restore us, to bring us home, and give us work. I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.